Roe v. Wade is outdated, it's bad law, and it's been responsible for the legal murder of more than 62 million children. So says Eric Scheidler, executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, and he's involved with something called OverturnRoe.org. In fact, there's a coalition in reference to that. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Eric, we welcome you back to our program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, you know, it's especially great to be with you right now, Jerry, because this is one of the most significant moments in the history of the pro-life movement. We are seeing the Supreme Court poised for the first time in more than a generation to really reconsider this horrible precedent of Roe versus Wade that stripped away legal protection from every unborn child in every state in our country way back in 1973. This case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, is the case that could overturn Roe versus Wade. The state of Mississippi, where this lawsuit comes from, is asking the court to do that. That's what we're calling on the court to do, and that's what we're preparing the American people for.
Okay, first of all, tell us about Dobbs v. Jackson. What's the particular law in Mississippi? Is that one of the heartbeat bills? Just tell us about that.
Yeah, the Mississippi law is a 15-week abortion ban. And in trying to ban abortion at 15 weeks, the state of Mississippi is trying to bring their law in line with the laws of most of the developed world, countries like France and Italy that have restrictions, you know, heavy restrictions on abortion later on in pregnancy after around 15 or 16 weeks. The state of Mississippi is also directly challenging Roe versus Wade, and they've designed the law to really bring that challenge to the Supreme Court. For the first time in over a generation, we have a series of conservative justices who may really be willing to take a closer look at Roe versus Wade and reconsider whether we want to continue to make it so difficult for the American people in the states to pass common sense restrictions on abortion. You know, measures like restricting abortion later in pregnancy or preventing abortion to abort baby girls, which is a significant problem in certain communities, or abortions to kill disabled children in the womb. These are all measures that the American people hugely support and yet which are blocked under Roe versus Wade and later Supreme Court precedents like Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So this is a really very historic moment, and I'm so thrilled to be able to lead the activist wing of the pro-life movement in rallying on this issue.
All right, you mentioned Casey. Now that's interesting. I believe that was 1992, and I remember those days, and I remember even some people in the pro-life movement saying, "Hey, this is it. Roe v. Wade is history. You can count the votes. Look at the Casey." And then we were disappointed by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, the Casey case is a cautionary tale for us because it looked as if the Supreme Court might be willing to overturn Roe way back then, more than a generation ago. And I remember those days, too. I was a young man at the time, and I remember the dismay that fell upon the pro-life movement. What happened there was that Justice Anthony Kennedy, well, he changed his vote. He decided not to overturn Roe versus Wade. He was sort of persuaded by the more liberal justices that a move like that would just be devastating to women who had come to rely on abortion as part of, you know, a regular life. And sadly, he changed his vote. But he's gone now, and we have better justices in place. You know, the three justices appointed by President Trump, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Barrett, all seem to be much more open to taking a different view than Justice Kennedy did. We don't know what will happen. We have to be careful not to set ourselves up for too much disappointment. But I would be very surprised if the Supreme Court doesn't at least carve out some kind of way for Mississippi's regulation to remain in force, or actually to be enforced for the first time, because in fact it's been blocked by the courts since the day that it was signed into law. That said, I also could see it very likely that the Supreme Court would go all the way and overturn Roe versus Wade. And if they do that, I think they will make a real strong effort to try to explain to the American people what we're saying, too, through this OverturnRoe.org campaign, which is that Roe versus Wade is not only unjust, it's not only an attack on human life, but it's also something that's really poisoned our federal politics. It's poisoned the Supreme Court. They are inconsistent in the way that they rule on abortion issues, and this is something that court watchers, both from the left and the right, have recognized. I mean, people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, former justice, belated justice, and Sandra Day O'Connor, retired justice, have both spoken out against the Roe v. Wade precedent. So there's a real case to be made to the American people, even those who are pro-choice, that getting this issue out of our federal politics and returning it to the states would make for a much calmer political environment, and one in which we can start to solve other problems that have really been pushed to the side by the abortion controversy.
Well, now, wait a minute. As far as Ginsburg, I know for a fact that she would always vote in a way that was supportive of Roe. So I think what her comment was that it was reasoned poorly as far as, you know, an actual judicial case. But it would be fair to say
she agreed with the result. She wanted to see abortion legal in the United States. She thought that there was a better argument to be made. But she thought the reasoning of Roe was extremely faulty, kind of creating this emanations from the penumbra and this sort of weird way of claiming that somehow the 14th Amendment requires abortion. She didn't agree with that reasoning at all. And very few people realized that she had a criticism to make. And many other liberal, judicial specialists have, legal scholars have made similar criticisms. People like Lawrence Tribe have said that the ruling doesn't really make any sense. It's sort of just made up by the Supreme Court. It's not grounded in anything.
Tribe, though, would be like what you said about Ginsburg, that he agreed with the results. If he disagreed with the reasoning, at least he agreed with the results. But, you know, by the way, when we use the phrase Roe v. Wade, wouldn't it be fair to say, Eric, that in a sense, Roe v. Wade, just by saying that phrase, you are also saying Roe v. Wade and its companion decision, Doe v. Bolton. And the reason I bring that up is because when you actually read Roe v. Wade, it makes a big deal about the three trimesters, and we're only talking about the first trimester. And, oh, by the way, the trimester is, divided according to week 12. The Mississippi law you're talking about is week 15. So that brings us already, 3 weeks into the second trimester. And again, Roe v. Wade is only about the first trimester. But because of Doe v. Bolton, in effect, you have all, abortion on demand essentially through the moment of birth, if you will.
That's right. That's an important clarification and one that many people don't really realize. Roe versus Wade has really become shorthand for people saying, hey, I don't really like abortion, but I don't want to tell a woman in a really difficult situation. You know, she's poor. She's a victim of sexual abuse in some way. I don't want to tell her what she can do. They don't really mean that they accept what Roe and its companion case Doe actually do, which, as you say, is abortion on demand through all of pregnancy. Now, Doe does include some ability for the states to step in when it comes to the later months of pregnancy, but the exceptions that it allows for abortion, if there's a threat to the health of the mother, which really counts for anything, psychological health, anything like that. It's become actually very, very difficult for any of the states to seriously restrict even late-term abortion. And if the Supreme Court were to set those precedents aside, it would open up a whole new world of opportunity for the American people to see their actual opinions on abortion, their actual morals about abortion expressed in the law. Instead of the horrible abortion-on-demand license that we have, and which so few people understand, is what the United States has really committed itself to up till now.
The Supreme Court is certainly not fallible, infallible. Do you think that in future times they'll look at Roe v. Wade and say, hey, Roe v. Wade, that was the 20th century's version of Dred Scott? In other words, it was something, Dred Scott was pro-slavery, and that was a decision by the Supreme Court. In other words, do you think future generations will look back at us and say, what in the world were you doing, having all these abortions on demand, just millions of them even?
Well, Jerry, the answer to that question, I think, really depends on us. What kind of future will we create? If the Supreme Court does, in fact, overturn Roe versus Wade, are we willing, as pro-life Christians, to commit to the extremely difficult task of going state by state by state and actually restoring legal protection to unborn children? In a way, we've kind of had it easy, in a sense. I mean, it's been very difficult to make our case in the midst of all the media propaganda and in the context of, for many years, over a million abortions a year going on. But at the same time, because Roe versus Wade was blocking us from doing things legislatively, the legislatures have really had very little reason to you know, to really be put to the task of trying to save babies from abortion, except at the margins. This will be our opportunity, if the Supreme Court really does overturn Roe v. Wade, to really go for broke on protecting our unborn brothers and sisters. So I think the future view of Roe v. Wade and all these other abortion cases really depends on our commitment and whether we're willing to fight hard in the years to come to restore legal protection to unborn children, not just in places like Mississippi or other pro-life states like, you know, Alabama or Ohio, but in radically pro-abortion states like California, New York, and my home state of Illinois.
Hmm. Okay, tell us about the Overturn Roe coalition and things planned for December 1, which is the day of the hearing of this new case out of Mississippi.
Yeah, well, we're trying to really send a message to the Supreme Court that the United States of America has never accepted that horrible precedent of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. That, in fact, the people immediately rejected those rulings by creating this incredibly dynamic pro-life movement for all these years, for many decades now, has been fighting against abortion, educating the public, reaching out to help women outside of abortion facilities, setting up over 3,000 pregnancy centers across the country to provide assistance, and really just fighting and fighting and fighting for our unborn brothers and sisters. We want the court to know we've got their back, that Anthony Kennedy was wrong, that the American people would freak out if Roe versus Wade were overturned. Yeah, many will be upset, many will rally, but we will be there to kind of have the Supreme Court's back and make that case to the American people that this precedent needed to go and that we can establish a much better society based on the principle of embracing every single human person as a member of the human family, not just those who were fortunate enough to be born.
You make this,
and that's what our coalition is about. Yeah. We're calling on people to rally outside of federal courts, city centers, abortion facilities, to go out onto highway overpasses with pro-life banners that say abortion takes a human life, and really share this message to prepare the American people for a new future in which Roe versus Wade has been cast in the dustbin of history, and we are now working to establish a truly just society for every human person, including the unborn child.
And you make this statement, it could be the day that the high court starts to put the power over America's future back where it belongs, in the hands of the people. I want you to elaborate on that statement, the people part.
Well, we've heard a lot about freedom of choice over the last several decades, that the media and the abortion lobby and the liberal movement have been trying to justify the horrible violence and injustice of abortion. Well, the real freedom of choice belongs to the sovereign people of each state, the citizens of Illinois, the citizens of Michigan, the citizens of Florida, to decide what makes sense for them, what makes sense in their states. Now, of course, none of us who are truly pro-life would be willing to say we're going to be content with a whole host of states stripping unborn children completely of their right to life, even after Roe. We're going to continue to fight. But that battle should start with the people having a choice in this, not just a court of nine justices who are unelected and who have no accountability to the people.
You know, it's funny. The reason I even brought up earlier the importance of understanding about Doe v. Bolton is the fact that I was trying to find that quote from Byron White, who was one of the two justices in 1973 who disagreed with Roe v. Wade, and he called it an act of raw judicial power. And when I looked through Roe v. Wade, I couldn't find it in the dissent, and I did find it in the dissent of Doe v. Bolton. So, again, it's kind of a combined package at work here. Now, let me ask you this, as far as state laws, isn't it true, and we have about 1 minute left, that at one point there were 1.4 million abortions in America per year? Today it's more like 800,000. Isn't a lot of that because the reduction because of state laws?
That's right. I mean, the peak abortion level in the like late 80s, early 90s was about 1.8 million abortions.
Oh.
So it's dramatically dropped from that level down to under 900,000 abortions a year. However, that still amounts to 2,500 or more abortions every single day, including 10,000 late-term abortions every year throughout the country. So we still have violence going on at an almost unfathomable scale with the legal abortion regime that we have in this country. The reduction in abortion is due to many factors. The critical one, though, is the pro-life movement's presence outside of abortion facilities, offering assistance, convincing moms that we will help them to choose life for their babies. the pro-life movement going out in the public square and sharing the truth about abortion, including showing what abortion does to its unborn victims, the violence that abortion does to their bodies, and inviting people to behold that and have their hearts broken for these children by seeing what happens to them. And through the educational efforts that have been taking place for all those years, and that online especially have been increasing, where we're able to reach people throughout without having to go through the mainstream media.
All right, Eric Scheidler, overturnroe.org for more information. Thanks, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry.